Big shout outs this week to a couple of awesome people. First to Justin, who became our gold patron. Thank you so much, Justin. And to James, our newest silver level patron. Here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, we are trying to hire a content manager at majorspoilers.com, and we've got a goal that is set that we are getting really close to. So in 2022, if you can help us hit that content manager goal, they'll be writing some articles for the site, doing podcasts, a whole bunch more, then head over to patreon.com/majorspoilers. Help us out, help yourself out, because when you become a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers, you get access to all sorts of awesome things. So what are you waiting for? Get over right now. Take care.
The Major Spoilers podcast covers news, reviews, and of course, spoilers, and goes into details about the topics discussed. So if you haven't read, listened, or watched the items we talk about, you might want to come back later.
I'm Rodrigo.
I'm Scott.
And I'm Steven, and you're listening to the Major Spoilers podcast, the podcast for pop culture and comic fans. In this issue, the rule of three remains. We're going to be talking Beast Boy loves a raven. And what's a tulpa? And why is it in my comic book? All this and more this week on the Major Spoilers podcast number 959. Woo. Scott Johnson is here. Scott Johnson, hello.
Hey, man. Good to be here. Thank you for having me on. I feel like this has been way too long since I was last set foot here. So,
yeah, I think the last time you were on was like within our first 10 episodes of this show, all the way back in 2008. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been that long. That seems insane to me though that it's been that long, but I guess it kind of has. And, you know, part of it is we talk all the time on my morning show and just don't think that much about it, but I'm really, really happy to be poking my head in here again.
Well, we're going to be excited. Maybe some more exciting news come towards the end of the show. Rodrigo is also here. Hello, Rodrigo. How are you this week?
I'm doing okay.
In the pre-show this week, we talked a little about some of the things that we're watching. We also talked about coping mechanisms and some technology that we use behind the scenes at both the Major Spoilers podcast and Frog Pants Network. So you can go check that out when you become a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. No Matthew this week. His kid is sick. I don't know how much you can share, Scott, without breaking HIPAA, but let's just say she's out of school for at least 10 days.
That sounds like a thing.
Yeah, it definitely does. So we don't have a traditional news segment this week, but I thought we would start. This is our second show of 2022. I thought we'd start off by just talking about some of the things that we're excited about in pop culture for 2022. That could be movies, TV shows, etc. I'll start off a while ago, many, many years ago, there was a podcast called The Archive or Archive 81. Just found out that that is now being turned into a Netflix series. And I think it comes out in the next couple of weeks. So I'm kind of excited about that. That's one of the things I'm excited. What about you, Scott?
For me, it's Horizon Zero Dawn Forbidden West, or Horizon Forbidden West, I should say. This is not Zero Dawn. Zero Dawn already happened. It's a video game. And I finally got a hold of a PlayStation 5.
Oh, and because lucky of you. That,
oh. Yeah, lucky me. I got really lucky how I ended up getting it. But I'm excited because Sony, I actually kind of think Sony's screwing up pretty bad this generation by not having some equal plans like Microsoft's got in terms of like Game Pass and stuff like that. As a result, I wasn't all that hot on a PlayStation to begin with, but they still have this thing with exclusives like nobody's business. They're just some of the best exclusives in the business. And as a result, that's what I want to do. So, and also, I just like to have better coverage on my game shows. So anyway, finally got one. That'll be February. That'll be a big deal, I think.
You also are getting a Quest, right? Are you getting a new Quest?
Yeah, it showed up today, in fact. doing some work with some press and some other people talking metaverse and gaming and VR and a couple of other interviews like that. And as a result, I was able to get my hands on a Quest 2 and been playing with that a little bit today. Barely just got it, though. But yeah, excited to get more back into that. I had a Quest 1, but it kind of pooped the bed, as it were, and stopped working for me. And this one so far has been fine. So yeah, like most of my year's things I'm looking forward to are mostly game related, to be honest, because it felt like last year I was all wound up for things like Dune and the Spider-Man movie and, you know, things like that. Yeah, now that those things have come and gone, Oh, and that Matrix movie. Oof. did not enjoy it. But those,
I don't think anybody did.
Doom is my favorite movie of the year. Did not disappoint me at all. And, now I'm kind of out of like, ooh, cool things to get excited about with movies. And I'm sure it's just because I haven't heard of two or three that are coming, but you know, outside the normal Marvel stuff, Batman, I'm stoked about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely Batman. I'm looking forward to that mainly because I want to see how they deviate from Snyderverse material how they keep it hopefully fresh. Hopefully we don't see, Martha and Thomas Wayne die, again. In this one, I hope we can just move on.
Yeah, that would be good. I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to avoid it. I could be wrong. This is one of those cases where my faith in that movie being cool is based mostly on how much I like the director. Matt Reeves makes very cool movies. And so a lot of people are very surface with this going, oh, I don't know about Pattinson as Batman, or I don't know about so-and-so as the Penguin, or that outfit for the Riddler's real weird or whatever. And that's true. Those things are different and odd this run around, but I have tons of faith in that guy. And I think that he'll be the deciding factor as to whether or not this works. I'm kind of all in on that. So I guess there's a movie I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. I guess when I saw the very first trailer, and this was two years ago, when the very first trailer for that dropped, or the first images dropped, first thing that came to mind is, oh, this is Batman, but with Seven. So they're actually going to hopefully play into the thriller aspect of, and the detective aspect of Batman. But some of later, more recent trailers where it's all explosions and kissy kissy, I'm kind of, I don't know, but I'm still gonna be strong about it. But at the beginning, I was just like, oh, this could be the most awesome Seven inspired comic book movie we've ever seen, and now it's just like, there's some explosions. Rodrigo, what about you? What is there something that you're looking forward to in 2022?
Probably. I mean, I'm just generally interested. We're going to get Moon Knight, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, let's see what they do with it, because I think that, like, especially when you see him in interviews and stuff, like Oscar Isaac, it feels like the movie can't get intense or weird enough for him, right? It's like when you hear him talking about Star Wars, it's like, yeah, we wanted to do this, but they wouldn't let us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, he was in like, Annihilation, right?
Oh yeah. That movie's great.
So it's like, you know that he can get real weird, and Moon Knight is a real weird character. So I'm curious to see how much they like, basically how tight they are on the leash with him, or if they're just going to let him just go nuts.
Yeah. He was really good in Dune, I thought. So I have really high hopes for that show, especially that's a weird comic, right? That's not the kind of thing you just recommend to people, but I really like it, so I hope they can nail it.
I'm kind of curious about it mainly because I want to see how they handle the mental health aspect of it.
Yeah.
That will be, I think, the most interesting bit. So here's what we know so far for this year that Marvel has scheduled. So Ms. Marvel is coming out, Moon Knight, Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, She-Hulk, Thor, Love and Thunder, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special, What If Season 2, and Secret Invasion. Which one of those is going to be bumped first?
They are, right? There's no way.
Well, I can tell you right now which one is going to be bumped first. It's going to be Black Panther Wakanda Forever the actress Shuri is somebody who is recovering from an injury on set, but she's also someone who, let's just say, doesn't want to get a shot. And so she hasn't been back on set for a long time. So I'm going to bet that movie gets bumped into 2023 or beyond.
Yeah, that sounds right to me. They recast T'Challa, right? Or do I have that wrong?
I don't think he's in it. No,
they've gone on record saying they didn't want to do it. So they were going to have Letitia Wright step up. And there were all these issues with Letitia Wright. Now, I think a lot of people, not necessarily involved, but sort of around the production, are like, maybe we should recast T'Challa. But there was still kind of that statement, right? That we're like, we're definitely not doing that.
Yeah.
So now they have to deal with that and maybe backtrack.
That's interesting. Well, okay. Yeah, that one. Okay. 100% with you that'll get delayed. Everything else, I don't know. Maybe there's a chance. They've been
I also heard that Doctor Strange may have had a bunch of reshoots that needed to be done. because people didn't like the story, and so they may have had to go back and kind of rewrite large chunks of it. That's rumor that I heard. So we don't report on rumor here, but that's what I heard. But I'm definitely betting on Black Panther getting the bump to 2023.
It's pretty wild that this is no spoiler to say that that, you know, Doctor Strange is in the new Spider-Man movie. Mm-hmm. He's all over that thing, including the posters and stuff. But it's crazy to me that he'll be rolling right from that role, which chronologically will go straight from that a Spider-Man property, which the very, you know, the early trilogy of Spider-Man movies in the early 2000s, directed by Sam Raimi. And he's going to roll right out of this into a new film for his character, directed by Sam Raimi. That's just that's weird to me. It's a weird sandwich, you know. Yeah. And it let's hope fun, we though. Get like Spider-Man 2 level Raimi and not 3 Raimi, because that was bad. Really bad, objectively bad, and I don't want Doctor Strange, the follow up to Doctor Strange, to be bad. I want it to be good.
Rodrigo, what about you? Any of these that you see as getting a delay?
That I think will get delayed. Oh man, I don't know, but I really feel like they're probably going to use like the first time out as like buffers. They're probably not going to want to delay like Love and Thunder, right? But I think they're going to put the pressure on like She-Hulk or whatever to and maybe slide that around the calendar to compensate for something else. And that's the other thing, is that you have to remember that it's not just Marvel, right? It's Disney. Yeah. So that's Marvel, you know, potentially any Star Wars, although I think I don't know if there are any Star Wars projects ever being made again. And then also just Disney's slate, right? So at any point, any of those could get slid around the calendar to cover for, I don't know, Phineas and Ferb. They're not making Phineas and Ferb movies.
They could. Anymore,
but you know what I mean.
They could. Yeah. I get one gets the feeling they might be done with Star Wars movies proper, like in theaters type things, but this seems like the TV stuff's doing real well. Everybody's liking that
Boba Fett business. Boba Fett. Have you watched it yet, Scott?
I haven't watched any of that yet. So here's the thing. I've heard from a couple of people, friends, who say, it's the best Star Wars I've ever seen. This doesn't get any better than this and whatever. And then I've heard other people say, this is the worst thing they've made. Why are they making
this? Yeah.
So I don't know what to make of it, because these are all people I trust equally and I don't know what's happening.
Guess what? They're both right. They're both right. I've been watching it, and the first episode I was like, well, this is kind of slow. And then episode two, it's like, oh, Boba Fett, Boba Fett, but what if Lawrence of Arabia Boba Fett? And it's just like, huh, what? Okay, maybe I'm on for a little bit longer, but yeah, it's not. I mean, it's Robert Rodriguez. So, you know, brings that sensibility to a lot of the storytelling, but the storytelling is just so
that's
slow.
That's interesting, because that can be real hit and miss with him.
Yeah. I mean, it's no Spy Kids, but you know.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I like him fine, I guess, but Silver or Desperado is about as good as it ever got with me and him. But, I figured it'd be one I would binge. I would get it all at once.
Yeah, probably. You know? I would probably say do that right after you see Loki, because Loki is still Loki. So there's something that Loki's, you can look forward to in 2022.
Yeah. That great new series in 2022, Loki.
I'm definitely looking forward to finally seeing the Amazing Spider-Man No Way Home. Mainly because I'm not going to the theater to see it. So that'll be something great. And I love the very first Homecoming movie. That's, you know, up there as one of the best Marvel movies of all time.
Yeah.
It still pales in comparison.
What they pull off in this one is nothing short of a miracle that it works. Now, whether it's going to work as well for everybody's sensibilities as it did for me, I don't know.
I bet it's going to hit all my spots, so I'm okay with that. But the one thing that I might go back to the theater to see, Scott, Spider-Verse 2 coming out October 7th, 2022.
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh. See, that's a good call, because the theater experience for that movie, that first movie anyway, was amazing.
It was just, that was one of the, when we saw the first one, we went as a family to see it, and I was jazzed from moment one in that movie. And we came out and I was giddy as all heck. We got in the car. Everybody else was really quiet. And I was like, let's go see that again right now. And I expected everyone else to kind of groan and roll their eyes. But everyone, including my wife, was like, yeah, we need to go see that again.
Yeah, that's such an awesome movie. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I think it's still maybe my favorite superhero movie ever, let alone Spider-Man.
Yeah, it is
movie.
By far the best superhero movie of all time. I woke up at 3 a.m. over the holiday break because I heard some noise out in the living room. I'm like, uh-oh, better go check and see what that is. It was the boys up at 3 a.m. watching Spider-Verse. So, you know.
Yeah, good for them. You're raising them right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's jump in and talk some reviews. So the way we do this is typically we pull a new comic that is out this week and talk about it. But because Scott is here, Scott is someone who doesn't necessarily read brand new comics, but he is a huge fan of the unlimited subscription services from Marvel and DC and some of the other ones, Image Comics and Comixology, etc. So Scott, whenever Scott is on the show, he's going to talk about some older comics that he's reading. But Rodrigo, how about we talk about a John Leguizamo comic that is out this week?
Yeah, Phenom X number 3. I didn't know. I had missed this series. But yeah, it's written by John Leguizamo of Encanto.
I'm sorry. I'm kind of blown away by this. I really like him as an actor and a voice actor and everything, almost everything he's done. I had no idea he was writing a comic. That's crazy.
Yeah, he's the main writer, but there are two other writers as well. I don't know what all the involvement is, but his name's front and center. Phenom X is the story of a man who is kind of taken in by this secretive organization, and he has these strange powers, and they're kind of helping him sort them out, and kind of in return he is acting as an agent for them, and here they finally kind of coalesce, and his powers are kind of the ability to take on the properties of things he touches. So
interesting.
Your Mondos or your other guys, that kind of a thing. Here we spend a little bit of time with his kid as well. So, you know, it's like trying to kind of lead both lives at once. Type of a situation. The suit that they have him wearing doesn't have a mask, and the situation that he's in really feels a lot more like he's an undercover cop than a superhero, up until it turns out that the people that they're doing business with themselves have superpowers, and then it becomes a throwdown, and that's kind of where it ends. So we need to get to the next issue to see just how far that big guy knocked them to next week or to next month, I guess. Art is good. I think the character at times is kind of meant to look like John Leguizamo. But, you know, from panel to panel, you don't necessarily get that. But there are some panels where you're like, oh, yeah, this is clearly like I've seen this picture of him. Like, this is a photo reference. And then there are other times where it just kind of doesn't, which is fine. Altogether, it's, you know, this is issue 3. I haven't read the previous ones, so take this with a grain of salt. But it's kind of hard to tell what all control this organization has in this world. It's hard to tell where exactly, you know, with like 4-color superhero stuff, it's easy to tell, you know, when somebody gets punched that like really nothing's going to happen to them, right? They're going to go through a table and they're going to stand right back up and keep fighting. With this kind of mixes a lot of real world stuff, but then flips on the superheroic. So sometimes it's a little bit jarring to be like, somebody pulled a gun on him. And it's like, well, realistically, should he be afraid of somebody pulling a gun on him? You know, there's a lot of stuff here, but it in a lot of ways, it kind of doesn't come together for me. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I'm going to give it 2.5 slices of meatloaf. It's, you know, solidly average. Again, nothing wrong with it. I'm interested to see what happens next. I probably should go back and read the previous issues. So, again, you know, take it with a grain of salt. I haven't read before. Maybe the lead up is real good. Yeah, just kind of generally lukewarm on it.
All right. That's fair enough. I saw this. This is out this week from Image Comics. I saw this and I was like, John Leguizamo, I think I remember hearing about this book, but this is the first time I've seen it. So people go check it out if you want. Scott, you're a big Warhammer 40K fan, apparently. Did you ever play that when you were younger or no?
No, that's what's funny. Everyone always asks me this. I love 40K. I love everything about that world. I've read many of the books, like the actual books. The Horus Heresy is amazing stuff. I buy almost without question every video game based in that universe. And sometimes I'll hear something's real bad and I won't pick it up. But for the most part, it's like if it's getting average to better scores, I'm like, sweet, more 40K for me. And I'll pick it up and play it.
Have you played that new Sisters of Battle game?
Oh, that stuff is cool. Yeah. And there's like, they're like battle nuns, basically.
Yeah.
There's everything about it. The tech priests. I mean, basically, they took the Warhammer universe, which is very fantasy based, and just said, hey, what if we took, you know, things 40,000 years into the future? What would that same kind of world look like? And what it looks like is giant cathedral looking ships in space and people controlling many systems and a god emperor who's kept alive by all these tech priests who are basically, you know, kind of dark magicians or wizards. But in the future, they're like all augmented and they're full of, you know, electronics and computers, and they can all communicate over what they call the Omni Messiah, and just amazing world building and over the top stuff, very dystopic and just right up my alley. If anyone ever out there listening ever played the game, Space Marine, came out on 360 yeah. PS3 back in the day, and they're about to do a new one. It just got announced at the Game Awards. They're making a sequel finally. One of my favorite games of all time. Just absolutely love that stuff. So when I saw that Marvel was putting out a comic that started in October of last year, October of 2020, because now we're in a new year. I keep forgetting. About 40K, I got really excited, but at the same time, I also got a little nervous because for the most part, it feels like the edginess of 40K wasn't going to make it to a Marvel property, AKA a Disney owned studio. You know, I don't know. I conflate those two companies together a lot. And when it comes to comics, I go to DC for Black Label and Vertigo and that sort of thing. And if I go to Marvel, it's a little cheerier and, you know, a lot of cutaways and not a lot of blood. It's just sort of Marvel, right? Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, how are they going to do this? Are they going to water it down or whatever? And instead, the comic, I should probably say what I read. The comic is called Warhammer 40,000 or Warhammer 40K. Marnius Kalgar is the name of the full series. It's a 5-issue series, very short. $4 an issue, or if you have Marvel Unlimited, the entire thing's on there. That's where I read it as it came out 6 months after it debuted. The writer is Kieran Gillen, who's done a ton of stuff across all publishers before. Mm-hmm. In particular, I want to call out Jason Burroughs, who's the artist here. And that dude just everything. He clearly really likes 40K because he's adhering to the classic look of that stuff based on the tabletop game and all of that. I've never played the tabletop. I have a couple of minis that I just kind of keep around, but I've never played it. I even understand how it works and I haven't played it. It just never happened. But the all of the fiction around it, the world building around it, the video games around it just really pull me in. And I'm happy to say this thing got real dark, got real bloody, got real warlike and very Warhammer 40K from start to finish. And I loved it. I will say I don't 100%. Okay. This is how I know if something's good 40K. If you don't 100% understand what's going on, it's actually a good thing. Because by that, I mean, it's a lot of really highfalutin like Ezekiel to me together, yeah. The space orc menace will be wiped from the universe. You know, it's a lot of really high churchy talk for a futuristic sort of thing. And as a result, you can get a little lost in that language, but I love it. It's like ASMR for me. I can listen to it all day. And so even though, I got the gist of everything, but even though I wasn't like following some of the bigger arcs that perhaps tied into other books or other properties, it didn't matter. The texture of it is exactly what I wanted. And the tone of it is right on. And I thought the writing was really good. The art is really good. They didn't hold back on sort of the bloodier elements or the warlike mm-hmm. elements of the thing for a Marvel title, and didn't even have to market as such. It just was a Marvel title. And for good or for bad, it really worked for me. So I'm going to highly recommend it. My only complaint is there's not more of it. It was a 5-issue run and they're done.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, they have
be more.
They have the Sisters of the Battlehood or whatever it is. They have a comic about that that's out. And I think there is one more Warhammer 40K that Games Workshop and Marvel collaborated on, but I just don't remember what that is off the top of my head.
Oh, so. I will read them immediately. I'm not sure the Sisterhood thing is out.
No, it started after Marnius Kalgar, so okay. It may not be out on the Unlimited service yet. Matthew and I reviewed either one or two of these issues back on the Dueling Review podcast, and mm-hmm. my complaint was the opposite of your love. I thought the violence was a little bit over the top and extreme. But yeah. If that's what makes up the Warhammer 40K universe, then it was totally on par.
Consistent with that. And I guess that's what I liked. Well, at the very least, I respected that the publisher was like, yeah, that's what 40K is. So, yes, this is the comic you're making. And they didn't seem to interfere with it.
Yeah.
And I love that world. Oh, man, it's so cool. It's very, it's dark. This is not going to be everybody's favorite mm-hmm. thing. Certainly not in the Marvel context. It very much felt like a Black Label DC project, to be honest, or like, you know, something you'd see at Image or mm-hmm. even IDW.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely at Image. I could see this at Image. So here at Major sure. Spoilers, Scott, we do not give star ratings. We don't give thumbs up or thumbs down. Instead, we base all of our reviews on how many slices of that good homemade meatloaf would you eat for this book. So we use slices of meatloaf out of 5.
I would eat my mom's is really good.
40,000 slices meatloaf. Of meatloaf.
I'd 38,000. No, I'd do 4. I'd eat 4 out of 5.
All right.
Yeah.
Very good.
I'd do that.
Very
good. Maybe in one sitting even. It was that good. Oh, it was just
cover it with ketchup.
It's one of those things where I know as I'm reading it that not everybody's going to want this, and yet I'm sitting there being really happy and excited that it exists at all, because it really speaks to me, and I really hope for more. So I hope that book did well for them. I don't actually know how it sold, but
I'd have to go and look. It's probably mid tier. So
yeah.
All right.
It was very good though. And it's relatively new. It ended just this, you know, in 2021 and mm-hmm. is not that old of a book. So if people are out there thinking, is this ancient? No, it's relatively new. So,
yep. All right. We're going to bookend our reviews with another Image comic book. Another one that maybe people may not be for everybody. And I say that because Department of Truth number 15, and in fact, the whole Department of Truth series, I feel is very dangerous in that I love conspiracy theories. In fact, in the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, I've really gotten back into listening to old episodes of Art Bell and just listening to the craziness and zaniness that goes on Coast to Coast AM from all those years ago, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, just so crazy good. Times. But the problem is today, conspiracy theories run out of control really quickly and people take them too seriously and it becomes super, super dangerous to have. I mean, we just walk outside your door in the middle of a pandemic and look at all the conspiracy theories that are running around. And so the Department of Truth dives into every conspiracy theory that you could have ever imagined. This is from James Tynan IV and David Romero on the art. And they originally started off with, you know, Oswald is the head of the Department of Truth. That we find out who shot Kennedy. They go into UFOs. They go into all these other things. And I think this is the issue that needed to come out when it did, because as I said a moment ago, conspiracy theories can be very dangerous. And in this one, I forget what the tinfoil hat guy, what his name is, but he's kind of, this issue is told through a government report. So everything is typed out. There's no word balloons. It's all prose as if you're reading a transcript from an interrogation. And basically back in the 60s, 1967, the Department of Truth, led by Lee Harvey Oswald, decided that they wanted to capture a UFO. And the way that they thought they could capture a UFO was by spreading the idea of UFOs in the media so that everyone was thinking about UFOs, so that the general consciousness of America would manifest a UFO, right? This is the, Rodrigo, you know about this, right? This is the TOLPA, right? know, Rodrigo may have stepped away for a moment, but
nope. Sorry, I was muted. This is a what now?
A tulpa, right? This, you know, you think about something and you make it so. That's right. The tulpa idea.
Right. The idea that reality is what it is because we believe that's what it is, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Except
interesting.
In the Department of Truth, people took it a little bit further, right? So this idea of UFOs started to manifest into stranger, weirder things. And so issue 15 is all about the Mothman and how the Department of Truth manifested the Mothman into reality. And how Lee Harvey Oswald, the director of the Department of Truth, is so obsessed with capturing the Mothman that he doesn't care about the bridge collapse. He doesn't care about anything else. So it's scary and it's interesting. And the art is bizarre. And I like this book a lot. I like this series a lot. But if you are someone that is easily led down the path of conspiracy theories, I wouldn't recommend this book for you. Go read something that is more grounded. But if you're into conspiracy theories and you like people that go out on a limb and are willing to tell stories of your favorite conspiracy theories and make them creepy and scary and believable and wrap them all into one big overarching narrative, then I think Department of Truth is interesting. And if you are into the Mothman conspiracy or the myth, then you definitely want to pick up the Department of Truth number 15. I'm giving it 4 slices of meatloaf. I enjoyed it. The art is very different. It reminds me of Morrison book, the Arkham, the painted one.
Arkham, not Asylum.
Yeah, it is Arkham Asylum. Yeah, yeah.
Is it Arkham Asylum? I know the game is called Arkham Asylum.
It is. But it's all painted and
stuff. All drippy and weird looking.
Yeah,
I like that.
Definitely, Scott, check it out. We have access to the review copy. So, Scott, I think you should go and just flip through the art and just check it out because it is.
Oh, I definitely will. Here's the thing. What you've described to me is something I totally dig on. I love conspiracy stories in fiction, but I also know they're fiction.
Yes.
And I think that's an important distinction. Like, for example, I can watch JFK and appreciate it for Oliver Stone's direction. Amazing acting. I love just like where that thing goes. But I don't believe it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, this sounds right up my alley. I'm all.
And it is. And it certainly goes into things like, you know, the Mothman stories of 1967 are a real thing. The collapse of that, the bridge, really happened. And they talk about the Mothman. So it's mixing fantasy and real events and real reports in with this. Also, Tynan has what's that newsletter thing that everybody's hot for?
I have one. I also run one. I forgot.
Oh, you also run one. Justin Robert.
Yeah.
Substack.
Substack. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And, he's got his own Substack that runs with the Department of Truth where he goes in and talks about all the various cryptids and things and makes up, you know, histories and stories about them. So people can go check that out, as well.
That sounds great. I got to get into that. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. All right. That does it for the reviews. Dear listener, if you want to read more reviews, head over to majorspoilers.com. We've got reviews going up every day of the week, as well as other great stuff like So You Want to Read Comics. This week, I think Jonathan did a really great job. The theme is Amazing Spider-Man No Way Home. And so he's got some books, comic books that you might want to read that involve everyone's favorite webhead or two or three or more. You can go check that out over at majorspoilers.com. And if you want to join in on the discussion about anything that we're talking about in the show, make sure you head over to our Discord server. It's totally free. There's a link in the show notes. Just click on that. It'll open up your Discord app and you're in. You're in with the cool kids. You can say hi to everybody. You can play in games, talk about sports, video games, RPGs, whatever it is that you want over in the Discord server. If you want even more out of the Discord server, then become a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers, link your Patreon account to the Discord server, and then you get access to secret channels in the Major Spoilers Discord that are only available to our patrons. Find out more at patreon.com/majorspoilers. All right. I would like to bring somebody into the show right now. Scott Johnson, I would like to introduce you to your space daughter, Ashley Victoria Robinson. Ashley Victoria Robinson, here's your space dad, Scott Johnson.
I feel like we need to have Thanksgiving or some sort of family get together. What's going on?
knock, knock. Are we doing American Thanksgiving or Canadian Thanksgiving?
Oh, that's right. That's right. We'll do like Star Trek Thanksgiving. It's fine.
We'll do it like halfway in between. We'll do Spacegiving.
Yeah. We'll play a little triple level chess or whatever after dinner and it'll be great.
Oh my God. I'm so bad at chess. Please don't do that to me.
Five or six of you that understand what we're talking about. You are standing in the center of the Venn diagram of Frog Pants, Major Spoilers, and Geek History Lesson. You're welcome.
That's true, yeah. Though.
Yeah, it's quite a position to be in. It's a bit of a, I don't know, what's that? It's like being in the corner when four states meet and they got like a cool little visitor center there and stuff. That's what this is like.
The reason why Ashley is on here, Ashley, you were off at practice. Play practice, or is this a rehearsal for?
Oh my God, what are you, my mom? No, it's a rehearsal.
Okay. Play practice.
My mom will be like, how was practice? She's really sad. Sorry, I didn't become a professional 80s. Athlete.
What's been going on with Ashley?
I just got in and I know we're talking about this book, so I had to come talk about it. I am going to be doing a show at the Wallace Annenberg Center for Performing Arts, which is a big theater in Beverly Hills. I can't officially tell you who I'm playing yet, but it is a character who could be considered a cryptid. So that's been taking up a lot of my time, and it'll go up in March, and there will be a very cool picture to go with it. So, I had to come talk about Teen Titans Babies.
Yeah. So a while ago, it's been a couple of years now, I was on Instagram and it suggested some artwork by this guy named Gabriel Piccolo. And I instantly fell in love with his art. He was doing stuff that featured members of the Teen Titans. So Cyborg, Starfire, Beast Boy, and Raven. And they're all like, you know, casual teens hanging out, falling in love, doing relaxing things. And it's just like, oh my gosh, I love this art. And I mentioned it to Ashley, and it turns out that we were both following Piccolo at the same time.
Yes.
Fast forward a couple of years and find out that he and Cami Garcia released a series of books. And I think there's more on the way. The first three books are about the Teen Titans becoming a team for the first time. And so a lot of that art that we were seeing from Piccolo was the inspiration, I think, for the series, or inspired from the series. But there were two books before the one that we're looking at today. One was focusing just on Beast Boy and how he got his powers, and the other one focusing on Raven and how she got her powers and discovered that her dad's a demon. And then Slade kind of pointing them in the direction of, where are we at? New Orleans.
This book takes place in Nashville.
Oh, Nashville. Sorry. So, yes, Beast Boy loves Raven. Ashley, give us a rundown of what's going on in this book.
I'll tell you, a depressingly not high amount of smooching. I was hoping for many more smooches over the course of this book. If you've read the first two books, like Steven said, we have a Raven throttling towards Nashville on a train and a Beast Boy throttling towards Nashville on a bus. They both get the same text message from Slade being like, hey, fam, sorry, I'm going to be like, I can't do Ron Perlman. I'm going to be a couple days. And so they have to kill some time. And what do you else are you going to do as an underage person who's not allowed to drink in America except wander around and do all the tourist things? They run into each other at a coffee shop. It's a very cute meet cute. The weirdest thing about this book is, honestly, nobody has a problem with Gar carrying Kong around in his backpack into public places and restaurants, but that's fine. They have a cute meet cute, I already said that. That actually doesn't go super, super well, but they wind up becoming friends, forging a bond, and Raven needs a place to stay at night after she gets pickpocketed. Not as psychic as she thought she was. So Gar very generously offers to let her stay in his hotel room. They both kind of get a glimpse of each other's powers without really understanding what's going on. But that helps on the potential smooching front because it connects them on an emotional level. Then they learn that their friend who they're meeting, and I guess it's because they're teenagers, they don't seem to understand, like, they can't quite figure out that they're both meeting the same person 15 minutes apart in two different, but that's okay. Comics have done way sillier things than that over their time. They both go to meet Slade in their respective locations. And then all this time, Raven's adopted sister has been following her around, trying to make sure that she's okay, because she's also a witch with powers. And it is also revealed at this time that Damian Wayne, who's going to be this team's version of Robin, although I will say only nominally Damian Wayne, thankfully not actually comic book Damian Wayne, also emerges. So we kind of have our A teams and our B teams being either kidnapped or stalking their way into Slade slash Hive's facility. And what's cool about that is it's run by Alina, who, if you are a deep cut Teen Titans comics person, is Slade's ex and like is the one who was too extreme and took things too far. And then they have to rescue their fellow Titans. Everybody learns that everybody has powers. They all have a nap in the woods. And I finally get the smooch that I wanted. Oh, and we imply that Starfire's there as well. That was cool.
Yes,
too.
I mean, she's coming up next, right? Because that's who Slade is meeting. And I'm hoping, again, I haven't heard anything about
Rose Bowl swap meet.
I know, right? I haven't heard anything about Teen Titans Starfire, and I haven't heard anything about Teen Titans Cyborg. So I hope those are still two projects that are in the works, because I would like to see.
I believe this the next come together book is Robin.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't care about that.
Because we already have 36 bad books. Why not one more?
I'm sorry, Scott. You haven't heard my diatribe here yet, but I despise Damian Wayne with every fiber of my being. I think he's the worst Robin of all time.
You're not a fan.
No, he's the worst Robin of all time, and yet they keep forcing him into every book. But what are you going to do?
He's a little bit smarmy. I will say, though, in this particular book, and he's not, like Ashley said, he's not in it a ton, but when he is in it, they seem to know that Damian's just kind of a cocky little weenie boy, and they play it up pretty well. I mean, I have to say overall, I don't want to jump the gun here, but man, I thought I was going to read this and not like it at all, because I'm not even that big of a Teen Titans fan to start with. And secondarily, I just thought, oh, is this going to be some CW romance, whatever it is? I don't know if I'm in the mood for that. I loved this book. Loved it. I was shocked how much I liked that. I actually gave a crap about Beast Boy for the first time in my life. And I didn't.
You don't like Beast Boy?
I mean, he's fine. He's fine, but I guess, I don't know. Maybe I'm a late convert. And in the right hands, the story can be told in a way, you know, that will grab me. But I felt for these characters. I wanted to see them succeed. When they were being held and basically tortured, having their powers tortured, that was really dark stuff. It was really meaningful to have them get out of there. Like I freaking loved this. I loved it. It ended too fast. I was like, oh, keep going.
Yeah.
Keep giving me issues. Let's go.
That's why I want to get into the other stuff. Rodrigo, real quick, what is your initial reaction to all of this?
Well, I love the art, right? Also I really enjoy how, all the Robins change, but everyone just stays the same. Yes, they do. It's like the Teen Titans are always the same. The new Teen Titans are always the same, except you get a new Robin every time.
Yep, that is correct. So Scott, would it surprise you to learn that this is a YA book?
Yeah, it would actually.
Yeah,
it does surprise me.
Yeah, this is aimed at that young adult middle grade audience.
Maybe I need to read more young adult comics, because this really got me. I don't know, man.
You do.
I really don't know what I expected. I just thought it was going to be this love fest nightmare, and it wasn't. It was subtle and smart, and how do I put this? And maybe a lot of young adult fiction is like this, and I just haven't been paying attention, but it seems to respect its characters, and the characters aren't just stereotypes of some idiot teens or whatever. They had much more going on, and it was, I don't know. I loved it.
Yeah, it was really good. I've read a couple of YA books. Obviously you get into things like Harry Potter. That's YA, young adult reader stuff. But I read that book a couple of years ago, Ashley, Comics Will Break Your Heart, which was definitely,
I read it on your recommendation.
Yeah. And that, I was really surprised by that. It was really good. And then I'm in the middle. I should be done by Friday. We'll maybe talk about this on Finally Friday. This Is All Your Fault, that you recommended last year, about the bookstore kids. And it's really pretty good, too. So I think that people see that YA tag on a book, or middle grade tag on a book, and that instantly turns people away from it. And I think what they end up doing is missing a lot of really good story that can be found in there. Rodrigo, why is that? Is that that whole concept of comics are just for kids taken to the next level?
Sort of. I think there's a reasonable impulse there, and there's like an unreasonable impulse there, right? The unreasonable one is, oh, this is for kids, so it's not any good, right? And that is, you know, comics and animation and movies or whatever, right? If it looks like it's for kids, a lot of people automatically, a lot of adults automatically bail out because they don't expect that they're going to like it. What is kind of reasonable about it is that YA stuff is a fertile ground for monetization, right? Mm-hmm. It's like teenagers have some disposable income, their parents buy them stuff, and hooking that generation with YA stuff is like really, could be really good. So YA stuff often gets like flooded with mediocre stuff, just hoping to land something. So it can be hard to find your Beast Boys Loves Raven or your Runaways or your what was the name of that girl that is like a detective in a hotel detective girl comic?
Yes, that one.
Yeah, you know, Goldie something.
Yeah, yes, Goldie Vance.
Oh, Goldie Vance.
It. Goldie Vance. Yeah, like your standouts, right? It's hard. Sometimes it can be hard to find those in a sea of like so-so stuff.
Yeah, and so I think that that's why, and certainly with comic books, for a long time the industry has kind of pushed as their audience aged. They kind of followed that aging audience, and they kind of left younger readers behind. And now I think they're discovering, oh my gosh, look at, we can, they look at Hilo, or they look at Captain Underpants, or Cop Dog, or whatever it is, Dog Cop. And they're like, holy crap, there's tons of money to be made here. We need to go back and reinvestigate this market. So I think this is really good. And I think for this, and I'm sorry, Ashley, that it didn't have more smooching.
There's never enough. Raven and Beast Boy are like one of my like OTP, like they're one of my favorite, because I'm such a sucker for Teen Titans, and she's like sad goth girl. Like Raven is who I wanted to be when I was 12 years old. Yeah. So, and then I really like nerdy guys. So that's Beast Boy. So I would have, it could have been 128 pages of just them smooching, and I would have been like, this is the best book I've ever read. I love it.
Well, but I think that's what makes this work, right? Because it is, hey, here are these two people meeting and discovering some common interests and kind of falling for each other and building up to that moment of, oh, when are they going to kiss? You know, she as you said, gets pickpocketed and she can't afford her hotel room. And Gar is just like, oh, come crash at my place, mama. Although he doesn't say mama, which for people of the Teen Titans, which one is it, Go series, where he's always calling her mama. There's none of that in here. But he's like, yeah, why don't you come hang out at my place? And then, of course, he has a freak out with his powers. And so she ends up in bed with him as she's trying to, you know, make sure that he's OK. And they fall asleep there. And it's like all these little tender little moments, so that when they are at the end of the book, totally making out, you're like, yes, this is the payoff that I wanted in this book. So yeah,
it's really good. I was surprised. Is this canon? Like, is this official canon?
This is one of the many stories that you can decide is canon or not canon.
Yeah, this is part of DC Inc., which is their YA series, which is published directly through Random House, I believe. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's only canon to the three books in this series so far, but it's canon to me.
Well, the thing about these like side imprints is that at any point they can become canon, right? If DC Comics decides that, like, for example, on the complete opposite horrifying side of the spectrum, The Killing Joke, right, which started out as non-canonical and now basically has been slotted back in as part of the universe. So there's always that possibility.
Yeah. That's interesting. This one is fine. If this is canon, I really enjoyed it. It was great. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, as Ashley said, when you look at Teen Titans, you're looking at, and especially if you watch the animated series stuff, you've got Cyborg and Beast Boy and Robin and Starfire and Raven. So, you know, you've got those characters there ready to go. And so, you know, I have said this before, and it probably bears repeating. Teen Titans, and even more so Cyborg. Cyborg is the most versatile character that DC owns because he can slot into adult adventures in the movies. He can slot into teen drama on HBO Max. He can be in silly, funky cartoons. I mean, he can be all over the place. But then you can expand upon that and you can say, well, the Teen Titans really are that cross property that can reach 50-year-olds and 10-year-olds and still be relevant to each, depending on how you spin it. And in this case, they're spinning it to that, you know, 10 to 18, 21. I think Ashley just turned 21.
I'm very young.
Yeah, you're so young. So, 21.
So I think
now that you can drink in America. Good job.
Finally, I don't drink.
So I think that that's why this book works the way it does. And it's a nice little romance story. It gives you the drama that you need. It gives you the action that you need, but it doesn't get too melodramatic. Right?
No, it earns it. It totally earns it. That's the thing I came away with. It wasn't just like drama for drama's sake. They earned it with what was happening to them. The internal dialogue stuff was really, that rang true to me, because it always feels like when you're, you know, a teenager or whatever, you don't really know if what you're saying is what the other person's hearing. And so, you know, they both have these powers. They don't want to show each other. So they'll say a thing, but the internal dialogue says something else. And that little, all of that stuff. I mean, it's common in comics in general, but I thought it worked really well here.
I am very curious go ahead, Ashley.
I was going to say, I also think that this book just has a very intangible cool factor to it. And a lot of that is in Gabriel Piccolo's art. When he was just drawing, I think he called them casual Teen Titans for fun. There's an image he drew of Raven and Beast Boy like cuddling on a bed in his crappy studio apartment. Like that was the lock screen on my phone. And I think
mine too.
Yeah. One of the smartest things DC ever did was be like, just that guy, come and do that. We will give you money. And it's not that that's missing in the mainstream DC comics, but there is something about that like hyper stylized, very anime inspired style that feels it feels very cool and it feels very now in a way that more traditional comic book art doesn't. And yeah, I'm not saying that traditional comic book art isn't cool, because obviously it is, but there's just this intangible cool quality. Like you feel like I could sit with the, I didn't have a cafeteria, but I could sit in the cafeteria with the cool kids and have this out and I might not get hit.
Yeah, Scott, if you're not and you like this style of art and want to see more of it, he's on Instagram at _Piccolo.
Okay.
And I would highly recommend that you check out his entire series, because I don't know, again, as Ashley said, this guy was just drawing stuff in DC. He was like, let's grab him. But if you want to get an idea for maybe where this story might be going, just scrolling through his art archive might give you a lot of that. So he's very talented artist. So,
okay. Yeah. I like that a lot. That's a good follow for me. That sounds great.
Yeah. Is there anything that you guys didn't like in this series? Rodrigo, how about we start with you? What didn't you like about this book?
I guess it's not so much that I didn't like it. I'm just like, there are parts where I'm sitting through this book and I get kind of flashbacks. So I'm like, these characters are like players in an RPG. Like there's like all of these obvious signs and they just don't see them. And it's like, you basically have to kidnap two of them and they're like, oh, well, let's investigate what's happening now that two people have been kidnapped. So, you know, it's like the characters are supposed to be kids. It's fine. You know, obviously there's a lot of purposeful trepidation there, but there are times where I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know, if these two characters just like mentioned one thing to each other, like this whole thing would just speed up so much.
Yeah, they do kind of have that like moments of like, come on, you two, or why are you doing this? Like you're mad at them because they're just not understanding. But I think the writing in here is good enough that it felt like they, again, kind of earned it.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't know, it's a subtle thing. It's hard to do. So it's not much of a complaint for me either. You definitely notice that. And you want to, you know, that's like my wife's freaking Christmas movie she watches. And I just want to scream at the screen. I'm like, dude, you know, this is just, you Jack Tripper some weird misunderstanding. Mm. And this happens in this book. But I don't know, they kind of earn it in a way that I didn't expect.
Was there anything that did stand out that you didn't like in this, Scott?
Not really. I will say the art, as much as I like it now, took a little time to grow on me.
Oh, really?
But it did. And I don't know why that is. There's a sparseness to it. Got kind of a Matt Fraction, you know, for Hawkeye sure. vibe a little bit. And I like that stuff. But I just wasn't sure how it was going to fit here, or if the comic parts, like the fantastical moments where he transforms into things, or where she, you know, her spirit, the shadow bird thing leaves her, all that stuff. I thought that was going to come off as kind of, I don't know, not cool, but it worked. It ended up working for me. I think
certainly
was handled better than I expected.
Yeah, certainly there's a moment where Trigon shows up and unleashes all heck on the Hive guys. That could have gone really cheesy really quick, but it didn't. And it worked really, really somehow. Well. So
yeah.
I was worried about
because when she's arguing with him earlier, saying, well, I'm not letting you out this time, or, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. trying to figure out what she's going to do about her father demon business. When he did finally make his exit, it really paid off. It looked great.
Yeah. Raven and her demon daddy. Ashley, what are your final thoughts on this book?
Oh, I'm such a mark for this book, so it's going to be hard for me to tell you anything truly objective. I think this series is really special. Steven and I have been saying for a long time that the original graphic novel and the all ages space is where some of the most exciting comics is happening. And I think everyone's really positive reaction to this sums that up. I do wish, because I have read the other two, I do wish they'd fought Slade in this one, but I understand that we're waiting to get everyone together. And Deathstroke is such a Robin specific villain that even though it's the wrong Robin, he's going to be the one. He's going to be a key to defeating him when the Titans finally come together. I think the romance here is really well earned, which is always a tough thing when they're canonical couples that you're used to seeing together. I really like the introduction of new characters and new dynamics. And my real only complaint is I read this in like an hour and I wish I could have taken some longer time with it.
Mm-hmm. Scott, final thoughts from you?
Kind of the same thing. If I wished for anything, it was A, discovering it earlier, and B, I want more of it, and I kind of want it now. It ends in a way that I'm like, oh no, don't end here. I want more than this. This is definitely something I'm going to follow up on, because I can't believe I'm even saying it. I was really sure I wouldn't like it, and I really liked it.
Good. I'm glad we've changed your attitude. I'm glad
you really did. I'm surprised. Yeah. I care about Teen Titans suddenly. I don't know what happened.
Rodrigo, final thoughts from you.
This series really goes to show what happens when you give something focus and time, right? If it's like you can write a Teen Titans story that's very good from the point of view of the relationship between two of the characters, right? And that's what this book does, and it does so successfully. You know, especially the Teen Titans really lend themselves to this because they're teens. So there's lots of ways to approach it and lots of ways that you can get a good comic out of it. And this is a good example of that.
Yeah, this is one of those rush right out in a buying frenzy books for me. In fact, what I would suggest, even though the link in the show notes is to the individual book, what I would suggest is you buy all three of the books. They sell them at Amazon as a collected like box set. So you can get Beast Boy Raven and Beast Boy Loves Raven. And then you can have three times the reading enjoyment that Scott and Rodrigo and myself didn't get this week because we didn't read the previous two books. But definitely go and buy this book. It's a lot of fun. The art is just gorgeous. I want to scan every page and put it on my phone, but that would probably be illegal. So until then, I'll just have to look at Piccolo's Instagram page.
To their credit, it didn't, as much as, you know, I don't have the first issues, they did a really great job of this being a cohesive standalone. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't feel confused. I kind of filled in the blanks. It made me want to read them, but it didn't ruin it for me. And that's also hard to do.
Yep. Excellent. All right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Teen Titans, Beast Boy Loves Raven from DC Comics. And I think that's where we're going to wrap it up this week. Scott Johnson, tell us where we can find more of you.
Too many places to say it all in one statement. So I will just recommend the one place, which is frogpants.com. I would put the shout out there. If anybody out there is really into retro gaming, be it arcades or old consoles, that sort of stuff, just launched a brand new show with my pal Brian Dunaway, focused entirely on that, called Play Retro at frogpants.com/playretro, or wherever you get your podcasts. And we go real deep on old stuff, and there's a lot more to it than you might think. I grew up in arcades. My dad owned arcades and old arcade machines in the house. And that's a big thing for me. And I think that gives it a little personal edge. So if that sounds interesting, you can check out the latest at frogpants.com under the podcast section. And for everything else, follow me on Twitter or something. I'm over there at Scott Johnson.
All right. Scott, did you have fun this week?
I had a total blast. I had no idea you were bringing in Space Daughter. That was news.
I know. Hey. You want to come back again, Scott?
Yeah, I'm going to come back. I'll come back again, Stephen.
All right. So here's the deal, ladies
and
gentlemen.
When do you want me back?
Here's the deal. Scott Johnson is going to be part of the Major Spoilers podcast, providing his schedule is open and he's not doing big things with big corporation stuff. He's going to be back on the second week of every month. So the next time Scott will be back will be on February 8th. It'll be a general chat show, so we'll just be talking about anything and everything at that point. But Scott will be back on the second Tuesday of every month, and super excited to have him here with us. So thank you, Scott, for being part of it.
Heck yeah, I'm stoked about that. So I look forward to being here more on the regular and, I don't know, finding more comics I thought I didn't like that I now like.
Oh, yeah. Wait till we get to some manga. You love the manga, and it's coming up in April. So
you know how much I love that. If you convert me to manga, that'll be a feat. Holy crap.
I'll be interested because I'm not too sure about this one that you'll be reading, Demon Slayer. We may flap that around with One Punch Man, but yeah, that one may be interesting. So anyway, right. For those of you that are having your comic dorks jonesing, here's a little bit of that in this way, shape, and form. So Ashley, where can people find more of you?
You're actually going to be able to find a lot more of me at majorspoilers.com. I'm going to be doing a lot more writing this year because we contribute in all ways that we can. I'm actually really nervous about it. So thank you for everyone who will be kind because we have great fans. And then just subscribe to the whole Major Spoilers podcast feed and you'll get me every time I'm here, every time I'm on Finally Friday and Geek History Lesson. Next week, we're going to do Peacemaker and I had to read every issue Peacemaker was in. So you better listen to it because it was
I'm sorry. Scott, did you know that Peacemaker, he wears that crazy toilet around his head? It's actually packed with explosives.
It's packed
with explosives. Yes, there you go. Oh, Ashley will be part of Finally Friday this week. We're going to be talking a little bit more about cancellations in 2022. I'm going to grill her about this book that I mentioned earlier. So you'll want to tune into that live Friday at 4:30 p.m. Central Time on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/frogpants. No, not frogpants. That's Scott's channel. twitch.tv/majorspoilers. Yeah, Scott, just put us on there on your feed for when you're not broadcasting.
Two screens, watch whatever is streaming on both.
Sorry, I'm so used to just popping over there on Mondays to be part of the morning stream. But twitch.tv/majorspoilers. Rodrigo, where can people find more of you?
Actually, speaking of Twitch, I've started doing a lot more streaming, so you can find me at twitch.tv/elpikachon. That's like Pikachu, but like more like, you know what I'm talking about? and you can always find me at Fearsome Critter on Twitter.
What's the best day and time that you usually stream so people can jump over there?
I'm trying to stream every Wednesday starting at around 2 p.m. Pacific. Okay. So I usually stream right before we do Critical Hit nowadays.
And El Pikachan, are you playing Pokemon games? Is that what you're doing right now? Or is it a mix?
Mostly I'm playing Pokemon nowadays. Right now I am doing an all poison types run. So all the Pokemon in my party are poison types. And that's what we do on Wednesdays. If I'm streaming randomly on other days, we might do something else. But yeah, definitely Wednesdays is the ongoing adventures of Petunia, who wants to be a poison type trainer.
Nice. And once Scott gets Demio installed on his quest, maybe I'll jump back on our Twitch channel and do some live streaming there and have him join in and we can play some Dungeons and Dragons VR stuff. So there you go.
Yeah, I got to get that Demio game. In fact, thanks for the reminder. I think I'm going to pick that up in the next day or so.
The third installment is just awesome when you go outside. And the Bard character is awesome. So a lot of good stuff in there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up for this issue. Thank you for listening. Currently, our show is entirely funded by you, our patrons. So thank you so much for those of you who back our show.
Yeah, if you want to help support us, head over to patreon.com/majorspoilers and sign up for the silver level membership. You can also support us by using the affiliate links, which you can find at majorspoilers.com.
We'll be back next week. Next week, we are talking about, let me flip over here really quick. Oh, it is Flash Gordon, the Death Planet. Yes, we're going back into newspaper strips on the next Major Spoilers podcast. Why? Because we know that you love comics. We do too. There's more surprises in 2022 to come, so stick around.
Fat the X-ray vision of Superman. I could save a few bucks and stand around and read through the covers of the comics on the stand. But although every other page would be backwards, I suppose, I could still read the evens and the odds. Well, I don't know. Guess I haven't thought this all the way through. Plus, as soon as the comic book store guy knew, he kicked my butt out on the corner. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Think about a better way. If I was hulking green or gray, I could just bust through that brick wall, take their comic books away. But then the little meat would deal with all the tanks and bombs and guns. Have you ever tried to read a series with all that going on? Guess I need to rethink this plan. How would I back and board my comics with such huge hands? Guess I already told ya. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. If I'm Stark Raven, it's like a man of iron. I might not be surprised if I'm that I might actually have the heart cold to follow an entire storyline. But would I really even need to read up on all those escapades? I mean, who needs such distractions when your sister's such a babe? But the downside is such a beast. Being shot up in a fun, being in the Middle East with a gang sign throwing soldier. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a major spoiler. Whoa, 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 whoa. What a major spoiler.
This podcast is copyright 2022 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.